Look, that had to be one of the great games in the history of the Golden One Center, right? I know there's reasons to talk about the roller coaster and this and that, but what a great NBA game last night. I can't imagine how much fun you had last night.
It was a blast, man. It was a dream. Pretty much from start to finish, it was a great game. You had guys making great plays. Mm-hmm. It started off Keegan Murray. It was great to see him start off hot. Paolo Banchero, you know, Jalen Suggs. Like, it was a heavyweight battle. Guys were playing not above what their capabilities are, but above their averages, you know? Right. Like, Jalen Suggs, you know, good player, solid player. Six threes? We didn't see that. Paolo Banchero setting a career-high 43 last night. Malik Monk. Like, guys just making individual plays. It was truly amazing. And as high as we are right now, we would have been equally as low had they lost the game. So it made it amazing that our guys were able to get the win.
The Kings had a very solid game plan as far as we can tell. Basically, you know, protect the paint.
Yep.
They're not Orlando's not a good three-point shooting team, so let them shoot the threes. And what happened?
We followed the game plan.
Shuma Okeke comes in, boom, right. Boom. It was me and Frankie and Alan and Chris and Brent were just exchanging stares like, how do those keep going in? So, you know, yes. We know the Kings aren't a great defensive team, but last night, defensively, I think they did a much better job than it looked like they were doing. Orlando made everything.
Yeah, give the Magic credit. Yes. They turned into the Splash Brothers when they stepped into the building. Orlando, 29th in three-pointers. Maybe. 29th in three-pointers attempted. They only hit 10 a game.
They should maybe shoot more, huh?
Apparently, you know, Jamal Mosley didn't know he had this kind of shooting on his team. I'm looking at Paolo Banchero, 6 of 9. Jalen Suggs. You mentioned Okeke coming off the bench. The dude played 27 minutes. Like, you know, guys were dropping like flies for the Magic. Franz Wagner, Gary Harris. They were injured coming in, so guys were. And yet they played their butts off. This game sort of reminded me of the Clippers win last year, the Utah Jazz win at home last year. Remember when Kevin Huerter hit that big shot? That was one of those, you know what? The team you face, Orlando, gave it their all.
Yeah.
They played a hell of a game, but Sacramento just made play after play at the end and got it done.
It looked, of course, like the Kings were going to salt it away. They had a, you know, what, 14, 15-point lead.
Yeah.
Or I think it maybe got 16. Up to 16.
16 was the biggest lead. Yep.
Orlando came back, and then it seemed like the last 6 minutes were just, they were trading punches. You know, sometimes you get that in the last couple minutes of a game, but it was half of the fourth quarter was just boom, 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 boom. And, of course, just an absolutely tremendous finish. If you're Orlando and you say, hey, we're going to shoot, 57% from three-point line, and Fox is going to have a really off shooting night, you figure you're going to win that game,
right? You're going to win the game, exactly. And to your point earlier about the game plan, the scouting report, Orlando, which is a great points in the paint team, 24 points in the paint. They scored 135 points, but only 24 of them are in the paint. That is unheard of in the NBA, and they almost was able to win it. So the Kings followed the game plan to a T. Orlando was just on fire. It wasn't like the Magic were hitting wide open threes. A lot of those were contested threes, and for Sacramento to get that win, not only when the team shoots 20 makes 25 threes, but also your best player, De'Aaron Fox, basically is reduced to a role player in that game. That's a huge win last night.
I don't remember the last time we've seen that where at the end of a close game, De'Aaron Fox is on the floor and they're going through somebody else.
Yeah.
And I understand. It was like, that was the right move, but I don't ever recall that happening.
I don't. And, you know, you said it when he was on the floor. The Lakers game, he was hurt, was on the bench. You got to run it through Malik. And last night, and Katie said it on the broadcast as well, end of regulation. All right, Katie, what do you do? Who do you go to? She's like, I go to Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. End of regulation. I mean, overtime, Malik Monk. Like, you put the ball. It was one of those nights for Malik. And we've seen Malik be a capable ball handler, decision maker, but that's usually with Fox on the bench. Like, your all-NBA guard is out there, didn't have it going, and Mike Brown, and kudos to De'Aaron Fox, too.
Yep.
You know, like, he said, all right, let's let Malik run it, and it worked out.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've wanted to see from the Kings, and I know, you know, they're up and down, and we get down when they're not playing well, but one of the things we say when they don't play well is, boy, I'd like to see them with a little more fight. Well, they had a lot of that last night, am I right? That was nice to see.
Yeah, they had, and that's why I say it was like that Clippers game, because in that Clippers game last year, you know, they had to fight back at the end in each quarter, in the fourth quarter, first overtime, second overtime. You know, it looked like Orlando was going to win this game at the end of regulation. They were hitting all their threes. Like, they were knocking everything down. And yet the Kings kept fighting. And that's what we need to see. I know the numbers will indicate, oh, they gave up 135. Orlando shot 49, 57% from three. But the compete level was there for Sacramento last night. And sometimes you just got to tip your cap to another team. Like, you know what? Hell of a game. Y'all hit everything. We played great defense. You just made shots. And I thought that's what it was last night. The Kings played well defensively, I thought.
Both teams really brought it, considering they were both playing the second number back-to-back.
And I was wondering when that would show itself. And I don't think it did.
I thought a little bit did late, it? Just like Paolo losing the ball. And you could just see guys were... You know, just physically, it's
gassed
like
a little
my
bit.
Body doesn't normally do that, you know.
And maybe the sloppy play from the Kings a little bit.
A little,
late in the game. But for the most part, you know, those guys were delivering haymakers. And I'm looking at the box score. Yeah, I look at it from time to time. You rarely see, like usually, you know, when they list the box score, it's like 240 minutes combined for a total game. 290 minutes. Like, that's unheard of in terms of five guys on the floor and how it all balances out. This was a marathon last night. It ended at like, what, 10-something, something like that? It was crazy, man. And give that Golden One Center crowd a standing ovation. Like, they were on their feet. They were into it. And, you know, I think they brought life into our team in the second half. And they were just on edge. Like, give us something to cheer for. You know, give us a reason to stand up. And the Kings did last night.
Yeah, to your point about fatigue, you're right. I mean, we never saw anybody look like they were tired. Everybody gave it everything they had. It's just to my eye, towards the end of the game, you could see how their bodies were failing them. But nobody was like, you know, tapping out or anything.
No, everybody was they were ready for it. You know, especially Malik. Domas had a monster game. I thought Keegan was tremendous. He even made some plays late. I thought his rebounding was huge, I thought, late in that game. And, you know, Sacramento, we needed this one.
Yeah.
We needed this one. On Mental Health Day at the arena last night, we needed a good mental health day, and our boys gave it to us.
And one of the reasons I'm so glad the Kings won is that if they hadn't, you know that a lot of today would be spent talking about how did they say that ball was off the Kings when Paolo Banchero threw it out of bounds. And the thing is, you know, if you're an official, there are tells there. Paolo at no point looked to the official and said, hey, he hit it, or review it. He just like, oh.
Right, he knew. He knew.
And how did they reverse that?
Claire Aubrey, who is the official, she signals Sacramento. And I'm like, yes, it's our ball. And then they come over talking, and it's like, what? They nearly stole one from us last night. And, you know, somebody on the text line right now, 916-339-1140, is there a reason that the refs didn't take a look at that out of bounds play on Banchero? You know when Banchero lost the ball out of bounds? You would think if you were unsure, you'd take a look at it. My only guess is whoever the ref was that said, you know, Orlando Ball was 100% sure. But clearly he was 100% wrong, you know. And I wish there was a trigger to take a look at something like that instead of somebody overruling. Nope, I saw it when really you didn't see it.
Right. Yeah. I wonder now what the rules are specifically. If nobody had a challenge, are the officials allowed, as they were a few years ago?
Right. They may have changed that. I feel like over the last year or two, that's been changed, you know?
Yeah.
But in the effort of getting the call right, I would like that added back in. Like, I'm unsure about what happened. Let me go take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. How could you get it right initially, called it so obvious, and then overturn it? So anyway, I'm glad that we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about that today. And you know who else we got to talk about today? In a positive light, he made one of the shots of the game for the Kings. Shot clock winding down. 1-footed three. Banks it in. Harrison Barnes.
I'm not even going to mention Harrison Barnes.
Jay's shaking his head.
Jay, because you haters out there, don't tell me.
Now the four-leaf clover. Let's be real now. Come on,
Jay,
baby.
All right, let's say that one
shot. Shots out to him.
But he had 14 points other than that.
I'm just saying, I'm speaking on that shot. I can't say he had a rabbit foot in the pocket.
He had the presence of mind to take
that shot. Just saying with that shot.
Yeah, it's like, well, shot clock's winding down. I got to get it up there. That's all we got. Hey, good!
The box score doesn't have pictures, you know? It shows
he had them trick dice.
It shows that he had 4 3-pointers last night, none bigger than the bank. And I said it. He's not always there answering when you call, but he's always on time. HB, I understand people are up and down with the guy, but he delivered last night, Jay. He delivered last night, Sacramento Kings fans. Can we hype my boy up just once?
17 points on 9 shots.
Yes.
On 9
yes.
shots.
Come on, man.
Yeah. All right, Drapes Take, yeah. Special Edition, coming right up. We're right back with that here. It's a Drive, guys. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We're basking in the afterglow of an unbelievable Kings win with the Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. On the move. I don't believe my eyes. Looking here at the chat, YouTube chat, thanks for being with us today. We're getting a lot of love for Harrison Barnes?
What? Let me take a look. What's going on?
Who's... A little bit. Scooter 916 says, HB had a great game last night. He okay. went up with that, and I said, no, yeah.
It's hey, show some love to Harry. If you're going to give him hate when he struggles, you got to give him praise, give him his flowers when he plays well, and he was huge last night
for
Sacramento.
Was.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to see when De'Aaron Fox struggled as much as he did right. to see other guys come through. And then, of course, Sabonis is like, you just – it's like you almost don't even notice. It's like, yeah, of course, 2010, yeah, okay.
Unbelievable.
Third King Center ever to do that since I moved to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he does, right? And he even said that. that's my job.
That's my job. Yeah. That's my game right there.
Yeah.
22 points, 23 rebounds, 12 assists, 45 minutes, playing defense. Sure, he had the 6 turnovers. But, you know, we talked earlier about the effort, compete level. That's never a question with this guy. I mean, and on the second night of a back-to-back, he laid it all out on the line. And he's going to be another all-star campaign. You know, we talked at the beginning of the season, pencil him in for 19-12-7. He's actually having a better season this year than he did last year, and that was an amazing season. He's even better this year, Whitey.
I know. That surprised me. I noticed that early on this year. I thought that maybe he's found another gear. I didn't think he'd be any better this year, but I think there's a chance he's going to put up actually better numbers. Long ways to go, and obviously that takes a toll the way he plays, but that would be staggering if he improved on the numbers he put up last year.
And, you know, I go back to where Sacramento is now. It doesn't happen without Domantas Sabonis here. If I'm a Kings fan, I'm proud to have this guy on my team because you know he's going to bring his hard hat. You know he's going to work the full 48 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever minutes he plays. He's not going to take possessions off or take plays off. And his desire to win is on full display as well. I mean, a lot of times on those rebounds and putbacks and inside, he's double and triple team. He's got 2 or 3 guys around him, and he's still fighting in there. And that was great to see last night.
Well, it's time now for a day after a double overtime win edition of Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Still looking for a sponsor. I'm going to just start off like that. Drapes Takes, we still looking for a sponsor. But let me start off right here, Whitey. I got to give love to my guy, Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray was fantastic last night on both ends of the floor, rebounding on the inside, playing defense. He was truly amazing. And the best thing about Keegan Murray's game last night, when you look at it, he only took 6 three-pointers. He took 21 shots, 15 of those two-pointers. That's what we need to see from young Keegan Murray, who had 28 points and also 12 rebounds. I need to see the variety in his game. He had some runners. He had some floaters. He had some dunks. He had some threes. He's a three-level player, and I need to see that night in and night out
from
him.
He heard you and the High Flyer talking about him yesterday. He did the things that you and the High Flyer were saying you needed to see more often from
Keegan Murray. Yes, and it's not only the way he shot the ball and where he shot from. He took 21 shots. And nobody's batting an eye. Nobody's saying, oh, why is Keegan out there gunning like that? Why is he, you know, being a ball hog? No, that's what we need to see from Keegan Murray night in and night out. And I understand it was a double overtime game, some more shots. But really, when you look at this roster, he should be second every night, at least second every night, in field goal attempts.
I like the Kings when they're not quite as Fox dominant.
Yeah.
That's not a shot at Fox because he's great, but I like it when the shot selection is more like it was last night.
Exactly, exactly.
Shot
so
distribution,
shout out to Keegan Murray, monster game, 45 minutes. I'm also going to give some love to my guy, Trey Lyles. Everybody will look at Trey Lyles. Oh, he had 10 points, but no, He took three charges in that game, got the defensive player of the game. And so when you talk about defense, it's not always about locking somebody down. It's about making momentum plays on defense. And I thought his charges last night, the ones he took, all three on Paolo Banchero, if I can say, those were momentum-changing plays. And as I'm watching that game, Whitey, and I'm sure you saw it also, when a guy takes a charge like that, that energizes the team. That galvanizes the team. And sometimes you need that. You need that energy and right. the feed off of it. And I thought Trey Lyles was fantastic
last
night.
Yeah, it's just a reminder. Hey, I'm in. We're all in on this. And don't shortchange him on his offense last
yeah.
night, knocking down a couple of big threes.
Yeah, he had some big shots and, you know, 4 of 6 from the field, yeah. 10 points. I thought he was – and he played with a little bit of nastiness, too, out there. And I love that from Trey. And my third and final Drapes take, everybody went talks about Malik Monk. We're going to talk about Malik Monk for the next 3 hours. So I'm not going to have him in Drapes take. He deserves his own special section. I want to give some love to the team overall because you pointed it out. On a night when De'Aaron Fox is 6 of 22, on a night when De'Aaron Fox, you know, went a quarter and a half without scoring, like he went the entire third, I believe, without a bucket. You know, his last bucket came in the second quarter, and then in the fourth he hit some shots down the stretch. And on those kind of nights in the past, we would have lost. To your point, we don't have to be always De'Aaron Fox dominant. This team should be good enough where we can survive an off night from De'Aaron Fox. And the fact that Malik played well, Keegan, Domas, there's enough talent on this team for other guys to step up. I think that was a huge statement made last night by Sacramento.
I think in a lot of ways, this team is harder to guard, harder to defend when everybody's chipping in a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know, we could tell early on that Fox was off a little bit. Like, the energy wasn't there. You know, he didn't hit a three-pointer. I can't remember the last time that's happened for him in a game, 0 of 5 from 3. He just didn't have it last night, and somehow they were able to figure it out. And I mentioned it earlier in the crossover. Kudos to him for stepping to the side and saying, you know what? I'm okay with Malik.
That's leadership.
Running it. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't always have to be in De'Aaron Fox's hands down the stretch. And so I thought this was a huge growth moment for Sacramento last night.
Can I say something about Malik? I know you said we're going to talk more about him.
Well, whatever you want to say, it's not part of Drape's take, so you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. All right. I was just going to point out the cool thing about him, he's so honest after the game when he's asked about, hey, you guys played well, even though Fox didn't. You know, and a lot of NBA players and athletes, you ask them a question and they'll kind of think about it. And Malik does, he just tells you, he goes, well, he can't be an all-star every night, right? So that's, you know, we got other guys on the team.
Right.
And when you ask about all the big moments, and he says, well, that's what you live for. I mean, he just is, he shows you exactly what he's feeling, and he plays that way too.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And that, Mike Brown talked about it as well. With Malik, he's always going to be Malik. He's not going to hide or cower or, you know, zip up his lip, you know, and credit to him for having his boys back like that too last night. You know, it sort of reminds me, you know, De'Aaron Fox is at that level where even if he is struggling, I still think, sort of like Tatum did in the Sixers in the playoffs last year, Tatum was awful for three quarters, but he got hot at the end. De'Aaron Fox is at that level. So I still want De'Aaron Fox to shoot. I still want him to be aggressive, even though it might not be his night. But isn't it a luxury to not have to be that one guy every single night? You know, he can do it, yes, but, it, you know, like the other night, Jokic scored 13 points and the Nuggets still got the win.
Sure.
Like, that's a balanced team. That's what you want. You don't want to have to rely on De'Aaron Fox, especially at his size, his body frame. It's a lot of wear and tear throughout the season. He shouldn't have to be Superman every single night for this team.
A couple of anxious moments, of course, when Black took him out, got called for the flagrant one. First, Malik hits the floor. We're not sure, is he okay? And then he went into the Orlando huddle, and you guys doing the TV, you probably saw this better than I did. I didn't realize till I saw the replay today. It looked to me like when he went into the huddle, he was telling the youngster Black, hey, wrap me up if you're going to do that. He wasn't like, what are you doing? He's like, hey, if you're going to do that, wrap me up.
Yeah, that was a scary
Don't
play right there. Undercut him like that.
Yeah.
And there was no ill will and ill intent.
Right.
It was just, you know, he was trying to make a play. But Anthony Black, that's something you'll learn. You would think
He's good.
He is good, right? Yeah, he is. Orlando has some pieces. Think about it, though. Let's give Orlando some credit right here. No Franz. You didn't have Markelle Fultz. You didn't have Cole Anthony. No Joe Ingles.
Right.
Like, you're talking four or five of their top seven or eight guys. And, you know, Jamal Mosley puts in Okeke. He comes in and has a good game. Some of these other guys like Caleb Houston. Like, no offense, I wasn't very familiar with Caleb Houston. He came in and dropped 15 points. Trevlin Queen getting 38 minutes in this game, and they gave Sacramento all they could handle. The NBA is fantastic, man. It made me proud to be an NBA fan last night because that was one for the ages. The crowd was on point. The players were on point. The level of competition was on point. Like, it felt like a playoff kind of atmosphere in early January, and I love that.
Well, that's your preview of your 2026 NBA Finals, right?
Hey, bring it on, right? Let's run it back, right? That would be sweet. That would be nice.
Because Orlando wants to be this year's version of the Kings,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And that was amazing last night. And I will just say, and end it on this for now, thankfully, we won that game, Whitey.
Oh, I know.
Today would have been miserable.
I know.
We would have walked in here. The phones would have been lit up. And they're still lit. I see a lot of callers on there. We'll get to you guys here shortly. But the vibe and feeling, this is that roller coaster that we were talking about. Yesterday, man, you were saying, I don't know about this team. I forgot how you phrased it. But do you feel a little better now?
I just feel like I'm more accepting of I don't know
where
to expect,
I was yesterday,
but,
then,
yeah,
right?
But like last time was great, and the rest of it I don't care about right now. Well, at least what are they going to do about a trade defense after last night? I don't care. I'll worry about that next game if I have to. But right now, that was awesome. That was one of the most fun nights of watching basketball I've ever had.
Yes, and you know, Malik Monk came to the rescue. Domas came. Like, everybody at some point made a contribution, you know?
Yeah.
How about my guy JaVale McGee getting some burn, too?
Like, was it Will yesterday calling today? Why don't they play
JaVale
McGee?
Hey, Mike Brown must have been listening to the show. He's a friend of the show. I'm sure he listens.
Yeah.
And JaVale gets the nod over Alex Lynn. I need to ask Mike about that, though. When I see him on Friday, I'm going to be like, Mike, just explain why you went with JaVale. Like, because JaVale was out of the rotation, and now he's back in. I got to figure out exactly what Mike was thinking there.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We appreciate your patience. We want to talk to you. We do have a guest coming up. We'll take a look at what's going on here in the trade discussions. Jake Fisher's going to join us from Yahoo. He's also written one of the six books that I've actually read, Built to Lose, How the NBA's Tanking Era Changed the League Forever. So what's up with the Kings and the deadline as it rapidly approaches? We'll find out when Jake Fisher joins us next, a day after a great Kings win with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Buddy Gleason and Kyle Draper. Kyle, that had to be, of all the games you've done, that had to be one of the more memorable, I would think. I mean, any double overtime game.
Like I think so. For sure this season. I did that overtime one in Orlando when De'Aaron Fox hit the game winner.
Yeah.
That's right up there as well. And, you know, as I was doing that game last night, I was like, here we go again, right?
Yeah.
These two teams. And so that was tremendous, man. And afterwards, like, I felt it physically, like, exhausted. Voice was, you know, cracking and everything. I was like, man. I left it all out on the floor, too. People at home didn't see Whitey. I think it was the Keegan dunk or something. It was a play late in the game, actually. I got so excited. I stood up and then sat back down, and I broke the leg on the chair.
Uh-oh.
So I'm trying to call the game. The chair is leaning to the side and everything. Exactly. I had three legs, and I'm still trying to work and call the game. Fortunately, Alan, the stats guy, grabbed my chair from underneath me, gave me his chair, and we kept it going. It was that kind of game, man, where if you're breaking chairs, you know it's a good game.
Yeah, well, does a win like that change the Kings' thinking at all when it comes to the deadline? What is their thinking here, and what is the deadline looking like? Who's available? Let's find out. Nice enough to join us, senior NBA reporter at Yahoo, Jake Fisher. He's also written a book, which I've read, and if you're an NBA fan, I can definitely recommend, Built to Lose, How the NBA's Tanking Era Changed the League Forever. Jake, welcome to the show. Of all the names we're hearing of players who could be available, which ones are really the most likely to be going somewhere before the deadline?
Thanks for having me, first of all, guys. I think, you know, I'm working on a story right now, typing away at my desk before you guys called for my next notebook at Yahoo. And I think most of the conversation after Toronto traded OG Anunoby to New York this week has been really centered around the next big, you know, player in Toronto and Pascal Siakam. And a lot of attention is being paid now to Atlanta as well with DeJounte Murray, where he's really been, I think, at the center of a lot of these exploratory preliminary conversations right now. I mean, the Hawks, one executive told me earlier today, are one of the most like aggressive, forthcoming, all right, we would do this right now on the phone teams around the league. Mm. And it's just going to be a matter of seeing what kind of comes together in the next month or so before February 8th.
Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports, joining us. Jake, I know you wrote or there's a video transcript of you a couple of weeks ago talking about NBA trade candidates to watch. And one person you mentioned was Lauri Markkanen. I always maintain that I just don't get why they would move on from him. What's the latest on Lauri, and what are you hearing about that?
It's a great question. I did not mention him in the first answer because after his name was all over the place before December 15th, that, you know, window where most players who signed contracts this summer have now been able to be available to be moved. And ever since then, I mean, the word got pretty loud and was definitely communicated by Utah to other teams that their asking price for him would be something in the same stratosphere of what Rudy Gobert went to Minnesota and Donovan Mitchell
wow.
to Cleveland, which brought Lauri Markkanen back, you know, five first round pick type stuff. So look, there's still the possibility that Oklahoma City or some team that is loaded with draft capital just decides to say, screw it, he's our guy, let's go get him. But right now, he wants to be there. He's told Utah that he wants to be there. There is definitely the possibility he could both renegotiate and extend his contract during the season after the trade deadline. If the Jazz are able to make other moves and open up some cap space, he could just sign an extension after next season once he becomes eligible for an even higher portion of the cap. But right now, people are just kind of expecting Lauri Markkanen to hang pat with the Jazz, and that the Jazz do want to keep him.
We're talking trades with Jake Fisher, senior NBA reporter at Yahoo. Given what we know about what it's going to take to get a big-name player from his current team, given what we know about the Kings and what they have available in terms of assets, do you think the Kings have a realistic shot at an upgrade of any significance if that's what they decide to pursue?
Yeah, I think the Kings have a lot of different options on their table to get a little bit better. You know, Harrison Barnes' name is definitely one that's come up, I think, in every single trade window dating back to when Sacramento first acquired him. There was a while there where he was kind of like a chip that the Kings were kind of throwing out there for, you know, to be a seller. But right now, like, I remember a couple of years ago, there was talk about, you know, could they get two first-round picks from Boston to get him? I forget which season exactly that was. Right now, it sounds like he'd be more of a piece that they would go use to buy, like to try to see if they could upgrade. And they gave him this big four-year, $80-plus million deal this summer, but his shooting has definitely fallen off. I think the continued emergence of Keegan Murray allows them to maybe look at options there.
Jake, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to figure out regarding the Kings is what exactly are they looking for? What exactly do they need? You know, we've talked with fans out here on our show. They throw up a big name, LaVine, Siakam, you know, but then I have a thought, well, they're hoping Keegan Murray takes that lead. Any idea what the Kings would be looking for out there on the open market?
Yeah, they were described to me as one of the teams most aggressive and active in trying to get OG Anunoby. I think Indiana was the proverbial number two that finished behind New York, and Sacramento, I think, was right there. I think there's still a team that's being considered for Pascal Siakam right now. The LaVine stuff, you know, to me, I'm crediting that more to Monte McNair being someone who's come from the Daryl Morey tree in Houston, where anytime a star player becomes available, you make the call and you poke your head in and kind of keep yourself at least involved, thinking, you know, what opportunity might present itself. How can we even get involved in something on the margins if it becomes a 2 or 3 team deal. And I think that's a situation that Levine and his representation in Clutch Sports looked at and circled and liked, because, you know, they have a pretty good situation there with De'Aaron Fox already running the show. So I think that was more of an exploratory thing than anything else, but they do seem to be pretty attached to names of front court players, you know, guys who would in theory fill Harrison Barnes' spot, you know, the Pascals, the OGs. I don't really see a ton of other players like that right now on the board, but one to keep an eye on could be someone like Jeremy Grant in Portland.
Jake Fisher with us from Yahoo. Jake, in your mind, which team or teams need to make a move this year before the deadline, or which teams feel they're in position where, and you mentioned a few already, which teams feel like we have to do something? Now, Indiana seems to maybe be one of those teams.
Indiana, definitely. Although they have this top 10 pick in Jairus Walker out of Houston, who kind of the talk of the G League showcase when I was down there in Orlando, who just like isn't playing at all. It's kind of similar to Keegan Murray, although Keegan's obviously in the starting lineup and he's putting up 40 points almost every night now, obviously hyperbole. But this like young combo forward that in theory is the bookend of, you know, a starting lineup that they already have. You know, the Pacers have Tyrese Haliburton and Miles Turner, similar to how Sacramento has De'Aaron Fox and Domas. So it's a little curious to me why the Pacers are being so aggressive and looking at four men, especially after acquiring Obi Toppin this summer too. But they just continue to be linked to every power forward, from OG and Pascal to Tobias Harris in Philadelphia. I mean, I'm sure they've had internal talks about Harrison Barnes, just because it seems like Sacramento really is doing a decent job of calling around on him. So the Pacers do seem pretty set on making some type of move, especially because they've got 15 guys, basically, and they could perhaps benefit from some type of consolidation trade.
Yeah, Jake Fisher joining us, Yahoo Sports. Jake, you know, I'm hearing all the rumblings out of L.A. about Darvin Ham and his future, and, you know, obviously they're underachieving so far this year. How active do you think the Lakers will be, and might a player like Rui Hachimura be able to be picked off or something like that for Sacramento?
I think so, but I think he's going to be more of an outgoing piece for the Lakers, for someone that they think is really upgrading their team and making them closer to a championship team. I don't know if the Kings really have a player like that that they're willing to give up right now. I think when it comes to the Lakers, Rui plus D'Angelo Russell plus a first-round pick is pretty much the best outgoing deal from a salary standpoint, from a young player standpoint with theoretical untapped potential that they're going to be able to put out there. But I am skeptical that they're going to be able to get anyone of real consequence without putting Austin Reaves on the table. That's kind of been the impression that I've gotten from talking to people from other front offices. So they're going to have to hope that Chicago, when the buzzer's coming up on February 8th, they don't really have much out there, and that offers enough to get Zach LaVine. But when I asked, DeJounte Murray's another clutch client. When I asked Atlanta, I asked one person there yesterday, what the viability of DeJounte to LA was. And he said to me, well, I would need Austin Reaves back. And that's something that the Lakers right now have shown no interest in doing.
Right. All right. Jake Fisher from Yahoo. Before we let you go, Jake, just want to clarify here for the benefit of Kings fans. If we understood you right, I think you said you believe the Kings could be in still on Siakam. Could be.
Yes.
And if that's true, how many other teams do you think are actively in talks for Siakam right now as we speak?
Active, not so sure, because it does seem like a ton of teams are still kind of holding their cards. But Indiana, Sacramento, Detroit are three teams that I would definitely keep an eye on for him.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. Again, the book, Built to Lose, How the NBA's Tanking Era Changed the League Forever. I've read it. I can recommend it. Jake Fisher, thanks for your time, Jake. We appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you guys.
Take all right, care. Jake. Thanks.
How about that? Pascal Siakam.
Right. We've been talking about some B-level, C-level guys, and it sounds like Monty might be interested in trying to swing for the fences.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
Yeah. You buying that they were maybe in on Ananobi?
Yeah, I think so. I think. But, the problem, we've talked about it, If I'm Toronto, the first guy I want is Keegan Murray.
Right.
You know, look at what they got.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett and Quickley, two young players. That's clearly what they wanted back in return.
Mm-hmm. We will get to the phones when we come back. Thank you for your patience. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Again, basking in the afterglow of that incredible win. And as Kyle mentioned to our guest here, it is a glorious time to be a Laker hater. That's next year with the Drive Guys on Sac.
That's the game. That's the game. That's why you want to play basketball, man, to be in moments like this. Game tied up, overtime. What you going to do? I live for these moments.
And I mean, your teammates encourage you to be that guy anyway. Do you see them encourage you even more so when you're having a game like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They always get the ball. I'm not going to shoot it every time. I'm going to make the right play most of the time. Besides those terrible turnovers I had at the end in transition. But, yeah, man, they feed a lot of positivity into me.
Malik Monk. See, you ask him a question, and he just says exactly what he's thinking.
Yes.
As soon as you ask him.
A leader on the team.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He lives for games like that. And I think as fans, those are the types of games that we live for, really, right?
Right. Exactly. This will be one of those games where we talk about, like, the Clippers last year. Utah, like, where were you? You know, you remember that game Malik went for 37 and 9, you know, exactly. And Paolo had his career high. Like, that was a great NBA basketball game. Not a great regular season game. It was just overall a great NBA basketball game.
I knew the Kings were in trouble. I knew it was going to be a long night because, as we talked yesterday and we've said already today, Orlando's not a good three-point shooting team. And Franz Wagner, who I'm a big fan of, he's shooting 28% or something. He made a three in the first 5 minutes, obviously.
With that corner one, I think it was.
And I turned to Chris Watkins. I said, uh-oh, it could be a long night if he's making threes. And then, Orlando just piled up the threes. And Paolo's threes look good.
They look good, yes. That one he had late, I forget, was it overtime? I think it might have been overtime. Like, the arc he got on it was well defended, too. Like, it was well he is a stud, and he's only 21 years old. And I turned to Katie before the game. I said, we're going to have trouble with this guy. Like, who's going to guard him?
Right.
Like, it didn't matter. Like, we played good defense, and he still dropped 43.
Yeah.
He was amazing last night.
And, you know, it's kind of an ongoing joke, gallows humor for Kings fans. This goes way, 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 way back. A visiting team comes in here, and there's some guy you've never heard of, and he goes off. And before the game, I was trying to think who it would be, and I didn't. I guess you could say, Chuma kind of did that a little bit last night with the threes he made. I didn't guess that he would do that. And then,
Caleb Houston.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 15 points, you know, off the bench. He was massive for them. 31 minutes played. And they got a fun team, man. They got a nice, they're building something there in Orlando.
Yeah. I do. Was it the second overtime when Goga Tadzi shot a corner three, and I was like, I think the Kings got this.
Right. Now, if that would have went in, I said, lights out. It's a wrap. We're done.
Right.
We're done. Yes.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Tin joins us here on Sacktown Sports. Tin, what'd you make of the Kings win last night?
I got something else to tell you, Whitey.
Oh, he got something else. Okay. He's pivoting. What you got, Tin?
Kyle, Jay. Hey, so my observation, I saw the highlight in Kevin Huerter, that play where he had the, like the little swipe away, and he could have had a little breakaway dunk, but he had a guy trailing him.
Yeah.
Now, I seen Malik behind him, right? And a lot of people are like, man, why you just do a behind the back? But really, I think he made a smart business decision. Now, there was a defender right behind Malik. Now, he could have saved Malik from getting hurt. He could have saved the opposing Orlando Magic from, because, you know, the over-the-back foul and they're jumping, they landed on the hardwood, crack head on the floor. Hmm. You don't want none of that. I feel like I was really impressed that he passed up the assist and he went up for it. I don't care if you got swatted, man. At the end of that, the whole sequence, nobody was hurt, and that's what was important, man.
Okay.
To Kevin Huerter for that play.
Thanks.
How much does Kevin Huerter owe you for that, foe? Like, what, you his agent or something?
Wow.
What is that?
You know what? Am I still on?
Yeah, yes, you are, unfortunately.
But
no offense, Tim.
But the shot clock is winding down.
Go ahead. You got 5 seconds, Tim.
Okay, that's good awareness on him, too.
Yeah.
All right. I got you. Ted, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you saw this in the YouTube chat, Whitey. I'd have to go back because he's been on hold for a while.
Yeah.
And he said, epic call on line one or something like that. Like he was holding and he put in the YouTube chat, epic, something like that. And so,
can you do that? Can you tout your own call when you're right, on hold on the chat?
But he's a loyal listener, so. Right. I'm going to cut him some slack, give him some grace, right? I don't know about that. Take a call back again next time, man.
Yeah,
another day.
But you don't need to tout your own call. Right. I didn't see that he'd done that. Let's see. Emmy. Oh, Emmy's a big, Sasha fan.
Yes.
What's Emmy, up, Emmy? How are you doing? How you holding up?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to wish you all a happy, happy new year.
Thank you.
And wish you all plenty of health and happiness. I am obviously very, very sad and mad at Coach Brown for not playing and giving two or three straight not DNPs.
Uh-huh.
What does Sasha have to do to get more minutes? He played pretty good, to my understanding, because I didn't watch the New Year's Eve game. He played, I think, 4 minutes or so, and he scored 2 points.
Okay.
What, and right. Then after that, two DNPs.
Yeah.
What does he need to do to make him improve?
Yeah,
good question.
I know it's the first season, but come on, play him.
Emmy has had it.
Yeah, she's she's a huge Sasha fan. We understand it. But Mike Brown addressed this pregame yesterday. He was asked about and basically he said players need to take advantage of the opportunity that's given. When you get your chance, stand apart from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, Sasha, as much as we like him, we see the potential. Great career overseas. If he's not making shots, same thing with Kevin Huerter. Huerter's out of the rotation to an extent. Huerter's minutes have been cut. Sasha needs to make shots. That's how he's going to get back in the rotation.
So he's got to be ready.
Yep.
He's also, I'm sure that they're not thrilled with his defense, but that's, it's a learning curve for a first-year player in the NBA.
Yep.
One of these games, Emmy, as you probably know, he's going to come in. Maybe it's garbage time. Maybe it's not. He's going to have to knock down two or three threes, and then from there, just continue to shoot the ball well, right? Because
yeah.
The Kings, with what the Kings are trying to accomplish this year, they don't have the luxury of, let's give this guy a chance to kind of figure his way through the league.
Yeah, especially in the Western Conference
right.
when it's so tough out there. And, Sasha, the shooting numbers aren't terrible, but it's been, feast or famine as of late, And I'm looking at his numbers right here. Last game he played, it was only 3 and change, 1 of 2 from the field, 0 threes attempted. Against Portland in that loss, 0 for 3, 0 for 1 in the game. Like, he just needs to have more of an impact on the game when he comes in.
I'm just asking a question. I don't even know if it's viable. Is he a guy that, if this continued for the foreseeable, would he benefit from playing in Stockton?
Nah. He's 28.
He
that would almost be
kind of
disrespectful. A 28-year-old EuroLeague MVP, send him to the G League. He'll come back again. Mike Brown will give him another shot.
All right, Mitch here on Sackdown Sports, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, Mitch!
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy
what's
New
up,
Year.
What's up, Mitch? Good, what's happening?
Yeah, I've been on for a while, so I can't go check out what I originally wanted to say. They got three guys. Can they keep Monk in the starting lineup?
You said Monk in the starting lineup?
Team,
okay.
He's probably your most talented guy. And start Lyles with Harrison Barnes, which you never know what you're getting with him. But you got to make him say two teams have a flux of guards there. Maybe that's not the right word. They have too many guards.
Uh-huh.
Portland and Orlando. I mean, they drafted Suggs and Anthony's kid, Cole Anthony.
Right, yeah.
I know he's hurt. He must be hurt. Yeah, he's hurt like every year, but maybe a change of scenery. And same thing with Portland. I don't know why they keep drafting guards and not happy with it. And they just got rid of Damon. I mean, they got a good deal for him. But I think we're one trade away from having a consistent team. And I think Keegan could be the third superstar.
Thank you.
All right, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank
a lot
you.
Of people, and
appreciate
I think
it.
We talked about it yesterday, a lot of people are wondering, hey, Trey Lyles, why doesn't Trey Lyles start? The Monk thing, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. The Monk thing, he's not going
to
start.
It's not going to happen. I was talking to somebody earlier about this. Monk is perfect where he's at.
Right.
And how many times do you hear coaches, players, it's not who starts, it's who's finished. Malik Monk last night, 46 minutes.
Right.
A team high 46 right. at that. Uh-huh. And so just because he doesn't hear his name called, you know, in the introduction start, he came in early too. Chris Duarte picked up two quick fouls and Malik Monk came in at nine. And what Malik Monk gives you, nobody else on the team does. So you put him in the starting lineup. Now who's that game changer coming off the bench? Mm-hmm. You don't have that. Yeah. Malik's fine where he is.
He's uniquely qualified to yeah. bring you the things that you want from your quote unquote sixth man.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I just got made aware the 2-minute report is out, ooh. Whitey, from last night, and it's lengthy. There's a lot to unpack here. Can we get to that next segment as well?
Yes, we will. Yeah. I look forward to that.
Yeah, what the league says they got right and what they said they got wrong.
All right, and we can enjoy it because it doesn't matter, right? Because the Kings won.
We won, thank right? goodness. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, that's next year with the Drive Guys on Sac Town Sports.